Now this is Real Cookie 3. This is Real Cookie 3. This is Real Cookie 3. And let's start with Nick's report on Monday the 30th of June 69, right after Cookie's tape. Cookie's tape finished up the last reel. He reported on talking with a man from the Marlboro advertisement about Molly. And then we listened for a long time to the Cookie tape. With all its pauses, face it, Nick was fascinated.
And they find out about it being a Marlboro man.
That lady up there at the Sun thing, Sun Acres, told me. And look at the picture, looks exactly like her. And I noticed, I recognized him too, from seeing her on the commercial. You know, the guy rides by with the lights up a Marlboro.
Mm-hmm.
And he was smoking Marlboro too.
Yeah.
That's him. He said when he was in training horses in Canada, the guy he was training them for built him a whole indoor arena. This guy must be really big. He was down, when I went down there, he was training some horse down there then.
I don't know.
They built. Now, when I came to Martin, and I'm running to, you know, I'm running to see Molly.
Oh,
and,
that's what it was.
Hmm.
And,
well,
I guess Molly was just nothing
for
him to look at.
Well, he said, no, he walked with me all around, looked at, you know, he says, well, he said, I reckon she's about as intelligent as any horse. And I said, yeah, I thought she was pretty smart. And he said, well, she's got really good bones and really good feet. And she said, she's got a really good eye. Said her eyes are, we've never seen such good eyes. He said, she'd be wonderful on cows, probably. You know, cutting cow. Because she's got such a good eye. I can see that, but that's what he said. And he said he doubted she was pure quarter horse. He said she's got as much Morgan in her as she does quarter horse.
Oh.
He says, and for that, he said, and because of that, she'd probably ride 100 miles a day with no sweat. Morgan's got so much stamina, you know. And he said, I asked about breeding. He said, well, he said, you wouldn't want to mess around paying a fancy price for a quarter horse. He said, you probably couldn't get papers on her, this quarter horse. So then no use breeding to a registered quarter horse, because you're not going to get a registered colt anyway. And so he said, if you wanted to breed up, in other words, get a better, he said thoroughbred would be the thing, because he said if you were into a quarter horse, you'd get a pudgier horse, he said, lower to the ground, stockier, this, that, and the other. He said now if you were into a thoroughbred, you'd get sleeker, long, a little bit longer, and all this stuff. And he said that'd be the thing. And then I said, well, what about this one up here that this lady's got? He said, oh, that'd be good, but they're pretty expensive, because that's one of the finest horses around, one of thoroughbreds. And I said, oh, she told me free. He said, free? He said, well, I'd take her over right this minute.
Well, I think that's where you go about it. At least you got an expert to tell you about it.
That
was the other day, said Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Well, she did.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard anyone say Morgan.
No, I never did either. She said, I've been wanting a Morgan all this time.
He said he'd been probably half and a half. He said a quarter horse in her. But he didn't think I was. He's positive this wasn't pure.
Well, you never
think.
I thought she was a little too big for a quarter horse.
That's what he said. Said she's not too tall, but just large.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Morgan.
Oh, really?
That's Morgan.
They said the neck was just typical Morgan. A little big for quarter horse.
Mm-hmm.
Really big for quarter horse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I reckon I did. I like to breed it to that. That other horse up there.
I'm not talking about breeding it, I'm talking about using it as mission.
Oh. Well. Is there a call on?
Is editorial your own channel?
Well.
You can write about it.
I don't know.
You certainly have done your homework.
That's right. You want to let this just drop?
He said, you.
I didn't give you a job on that.
Well, he said, he's got himself and his son and another guy. He's got a bunch of help. But he does all himself. He only keeps the other guys for, you know, to shovel the salt. Nick, he does. I mean, he didn't train horses for ranch work. He trains them for show stuff. Shows stuff. Rodeos. When I got to describe her, he said that she might have some King Ranch in her, but he'd have to see first. He didn't know, but he said it might sound like it. So I told him I'd let him see him the first time, had a chance. But he was telling me all about the breeding and the Knicks and all that. And he said she'd make real good with a thoroughbred.
What about split nose that you were telling us about?
I asked him about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never heard anything like that.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. He never heard of split nose. Mommy said you could breed her to 40 million grays and you wouldn't get that color out of them because this color is so dominant. He said this color comes from the Spanish. He named the name of the horses in Spain. Brought right over from the Spanish conquistadors. This type of color came right from there. Never get rid of that color, no matter what you bring her to.
And then she told you about Tilden, or what his name?
Yeah, She brought and said, "Well, I don't know anything about quarter horses, but I'll let you on to somebody who does." So she went right in, called him up, put me on the phone, and I just asked the guy what, you know, I had a horse I thought was quarter horse on breed, and he asked me to describe her. He said he had to have the papers because he studies all the
mm-hmm.
the backgrounds. And since he knows all the studs all around the country,
mm-hmm.
he could recognize them so that they would nick right.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to breed her to another quarter horse stud. And he said that you breed them for all different kinds of things. You can breed them for confirmation, for cow sense, for show, pleasure. But he'd have to see her papers before he could tell me just exactly
mm-hmm.
what I wanted, and then he could give me the right one so I could get that. But he said he'd have to have the papers.
But she's got Morgan now.
He says that she's got maybe more Morgan than quarter horse.
And you never suspected that.
I never suspected it. I just always thought from the beginning, well, quarter horse.
I thought of Morgan was a little slow pokey.
Well, from what I know about Morgans are just well known for their stamina.
Yeah.
They can go miles and miles and never quit and never be tired.
Yeah.
And so I knew that they used to, they breed Morgan with other horses to get the stamina, you know, in the other kind of horses.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never had any idea that this would have happened here.
Yeah, and a Morgan, from what I've read about Morgans and from what I know Lillian used to tell me about Morgans, they have the most marvelous disposition.
Mm-hmm. Well, he said she had a real good disposition.
Just like Molly. You know, she may
want to
run.
He noticed that first thing. When I walked out, Molly immediately turned to me and, you know, come nudging up, you know. And he said, well, she's got a real good disposition.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, real gentle and all this.
I never saw such a disposition.
But I always doubt, you know, Johnny said, you know, now get papers on. I said, Johnny, she's too big for a quarter horse, for a purebred quarter horse, and she's got too big a neck. No, that's the way you want them.
Mm-hmm. I heard y'all talking about wounds.
Well, I overheard that when he was down there training the horse when I was down there. He was talking to the guy he was training horse was standing there. And the horse that he was training, he noticed had a cut on it. It was a little scratch. He just got some barbed wire, and he put some of that purple stuff on, and he said, "Now this won't hurt because it's just a little tiny scratch." And then he started on talking about this stuff about don't put water in there. And I overheard, and I asked him about it later after he got in the car. And he said, "Yes, it does."
But if you've got to, if they lay the flesh open, don't put anything on it, including water?
Including anything.
Disinfectant or anything?
Nothing. He said even that, he named off a real good brand of disinfectant that a lot of people, he said, not even that. He said nothing. He said just call the vet and let him sew it up. So that's only if it's a sewable up wound, you know, or if it's that big that it has to be sewed up. I mean, if it's just a little, like that one, she's scratched on her side, so that's.
Well, I guess the reason I put hoof flex and things like that on is to keep the flies off.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It doesn't matter, little cuts, little stuff like that. Just a big gash, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he said, I also heard him overheard him talking with that other guy about Blackwater.
Blackwater,
what is that? He said, well, that's something that horses get along about October, November in their haunches, right up, right on the top, right in the back, right above the tail. He said that what happens is it's just like a big Charlie horse. He says it tightens up. You can feel it just like a board. Right on the top of their haunch there. It says it gets hard. And he said that's just a big kind of Charlie horse. They call it Blackwater. He said, but don't ever, if you see that happen, he says they'll start to walking funny, like they're lame or something. He says they're not lame. They just got this kind of Charlie horse thing. And he says if you notice that, don't ever walk them another step. Leave them stand right there. He said, get off and put blankets on it. Just put blankets over the place, the haunch. And let him sit and call a vet, and he'll come give him a shot to loosen up the muscle. I'll be all right. He said, but every step you take with the horse in this condition, it tears the muscle. He said he didn't care whether you're in the middle of Main Street. He said, you just stop right there and put a blanket on and call the vet. Said he didn't care if you were riding them in the 50 miles in the middle of a pasture. He said, you gotta stand right there and walk all. He said, don't walk a step. Uh-huh. Said, every step tears muscle loose. Yeah, but I never heard that either.
I never heard of it.
It's called Blackwater. I mean, there's a bunch of local names for it. He said, Blackwater and Monday Morning Aches or something like that. Some local names again. But he said the most common was Blackwater.
Oh, he got a lesson today. They sure did. He hang around that stuff.
Now, this is Nick's third report. See, last night he came in. Boy, it was late. Hadn't eaten supper. I was sitting here at the tape recorder. He leaned on the door while I got through saying what I wanted to say, and then he said, talk about, he'd gone to this farm, this horse, racehorse farm, and the lady ran it, and she'd taken him in, and he asked about quarter horses, and she had got on the phone and got hold of this man, and she said, new quarter horses. Then yesterday, that was on Sunday, then yesterday, Monday, I saw him out there with some fellow with a cow hat on, horse hat on, and that was the man. And he turned out to be the man in the Marlboro ad. Now, last week, he had ridden clear over to the junction and talked to Coleman. And he brought home the story of Coleman taking his mules across the trestle, the open trestle. Of course, that's a little wrong. We got that straight. That was last week. So now he's collecting information on those editorials for 2 years that Suwanee, he has carried a point of view. Now, if he can just get the two together, he'll be fine. He brought out a piece of writing yesterday that I never did get around to looking at. He showed it to Faye, finally. And this is Channel 1 Right on the new reel. That's 175. That's Monday at supper, late supper, the 30th of June, 69. Nick is reporting after the cookie tape. And we all sit back and listen for a long time to that low-key cookie tape. Channel 1 Right, 180 now. Channel 1 Right, 180, Monday, June the 30th, 69. And this is Thursday, the 3rd of July, 69. Thursday, the 3rd of July, 69. Just about supper time. We're waiting for Nick to report. He rode Molly down to the thoroughbred place this morning. And she'll spend the long fourth weekend down there. Coming in from spraying in the back pasture, spraying the coffee weed, and I've been mowing. First time I've had a mower now in several years.
When I went over there, he said that he couldn't stay. We're going to have to wait for the vet. So he went back, and I was going to go back down there and see if they'd gotten the vet yet. He said, I asked him why I needed a vet, and he said just to make sure Molly was clean. But he said they didn't really need a vet. But he just thought if he was in the area, they'd get him. But so they never did get the guy, so they went ahead and bred her anyway. But meanwhile, he was telling me all about Johnny.
I'm not right.
He said that he asked me, he said, how long have you been living around here? I said, well, in the summer.
Johnny?
Johnny.
He knows Johnny?
Yeah.
He knows Johnny?
He knows Johnny.
Get in your voice.
He knows Johnny. But first, how I got to that, he's driving me back, and he asked me how long I'd lived here. And I said, in the summer, all my life. And he said, well, you might know a fellow friend of mine lives around here, Johnny. And I said, Johnny who? And he said, Johnny Sims. And I said, boy, I've heard a lot about that guy. And so he said, yeah, he's an old friend of mine. From way, way back, just since he was could walk. They're crib buddies, he said. But he said that Johnny was, that he was closest to Johnny of all the friends that Johnny had.
Yeah.
And he says, consequently, whenever Johnny gets in a pinch, he calls him from where he is. Calls him from anywhere. I asked him when the last time he called, and he said, oh, a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, where is he? He says, Oklahoma City. And so, he said, yeah, Johnny has to leave town every once in a while. And I said, oh. And
if you don't check it.
Yeah.
He said the reason why Johnny had to leave last time is because he wrote a bunch of bad checks. said he wrote $648 worth of bad checks. And they were really on him, so he had to hop town right quick. He's been gone for 2 years. He's been all over the country since. And
guys, that didn't seem possible for you.
No.
He said, oh, Johnny was doing all. He said Johnny was just had a bent toward doing things that weren't too scrupulous. And so he said he wanted to know if you were missing a saddle, because he said that Johnny brought him a saddle. Not last summer, but the summer before.
Yeah.
Asked him if he wanted to buy it. And since he knew Johnny's ways, he said, no, I'll pass. Johnny left town right after that. He called him up from somewhere, and Johnny said, I'm glad you didn't buy that saddle, because the lady who owns it is really going to put me in jail if I give it back. So this guy said the next time he phones, he's going to find out from Johnny where he got that horse. But this guy seems on the up and up, because he said he'd been working with that lady a long time. I'm sure she wouldn't have anybody that was the way Johnny was. So he seems pretty nice. He's married and got some. He lives right on the place.
Oh, he does.
He lives in that trailer right down there. On the side.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's name is Bill. Apparently he's the chief cook and bottle washer around there. He runs the place. He's paymaster and this, that, everything. You know, he's a breeder.
Oh.
Breeder and tends the horses and tells everybody what to do. He's not very old. He's Johnny's age. How old is Johnny?
Oh, Johnny's young.
Yeah, well, this guy doesn't look so 25, 30. This guy's not very old. And he's apparently gone right up with this. He knows a lot of it. He's just like Johnny, big horse trader and everything.
Johnny 25?
I don't know. I never met Johnny.
Oh, Johnny's, I would say Johnny's in his 30s.
Oh, Faye, couldn't be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know, Johnny.
Oh, early 30s, I'd say.
This guy is about, I'd say about 30. You saw him.
Yeah, I'd say he's around
about
30.
Johnny's age.
Yeah.
Tattooed
all over.
Yeah, he had tattoos on him. He had a thin face with crew cut, you know.
Yeah.
But he didn't look like a cowboy. Well, I don't know. He wore cowboy boots, but that was all.
Uh-huh.
He looked more like a cracker.
Yeah.
I guess he was.
Now he brought you here.
He drove me down here.
Yeah.
And he was looking at the horses. He got looking at Pussy. He said, oh.
Pussy?
Yeah. He said, I told him that's the one Johnny had worked around with. And he said, yeah, he'd like to have that horse. He'd like to have that horse. So you might expect a visit from him one of these days. He's a big horse trader. He trades all around everything. I asked him if he knew where any Tennessee Walkers were. He said, oh, got an uncle that has a Tennessee Walking farm.
They're always like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so he says, yeah, I got an uncle in Tampa.
Okay.
Got a Tennessee Walking horse farm.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I'll just go over there one of these days and pick one up and come over here and swap her for that one. And I said, well, you'd have to talk to her about that.
you need horse traders.
Oh, yeah.
Good traders.
Well,
they keep up with everybody.
They know where all the horses are and everything. Wherever.
And they know what you want.
And they know what you want, yeah. And he wanted to know how old she was and all this. You know.
But she's a cutting horse, and this is what would appeal to him.
Yeah, well, she said...
He wasn't interested in Missy, I'm sure.
Oh, no. He said, Pussy make a good roping horse.
Yeah.
So he wanted a roping horse, so he's going to see what he can do about finding another one to swap it.
Well,
he
now
broke.
That might get us somewhere.
I know. He seemed to know where all the people were and everything. In fact, he said he was a friend of the vets, Doc Towell, the vet that was supposed to come.
Yeah.
And the vet has got an Appaloosa stud that's really fine, he said. He said, oh, that'd be nice to breed her to him, Pussy.
Uh-huh.
And he said that since he knows the doc so well, doc says he can breed her for free to his Appaloosa.
Now, that's the way to do it, is to get...
I know, see, because he knows all the connections, you know. Because he's done things for the doc, you know, so the doc says, that's him. But he's been all over the place. He knows all the horses. And he's, from the hear him talk, he must have 50 horses. He says, I got a little cutting horse mare, and I got a little gelding here, and a thing there. And he just talked like
he
had 100 horses.
And he wanted the little colt the other day, yesterday, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He wanted to see if he could buy that little one out of that poor horse up there that they bred stallion too.
And what's the stallion's name?
His name is Blay. What's the first
one? Blay.
First Blay?
Is it First Blay?
Something Blay.
Uh-huh. Blay. Yeah.
But, boy, that's a big operation up there.
Tell us.
He was right in the middle of feeding when I got up there. They were I got there and they were just starting to feed. What they do is they take, let's see, how many buckets were there? 22 buckets of for the mares, 22 mares they have that they're breeding. And they mix that stuff with, I never seen such feed. They have some little old green pellets, and they give them some sweet feed, and they give them that dry stuff, and then that powdery stuff, and they mix it all together. All kind of, kind of five different kinds of bags of stuff they got out of. Of course, they have it all in big bins. They have so much of it.
You find the formula. You find what they feed.
Yeah. He shoveled it out, and he fed Molly there. He gave her 5 quarts of sweet feed.
Oh.
5 quarts?
Yeah, and I told him that 5 quarts of bread would be...
She'd be spoiled.
Why, Nick, she won't come home.
And
she won't want to come home.
And, but she didn't eat it all.
No.
She left it.
No.
She ate it. She ate about half of it and left it.
No.
This was in the morning, and then after they bred her, along in the afternoon, 2 or 3, she went back and ate the rest. But she didn't all eat it in one thing. I thought for sure she'd eat as much as she could any time, but she ate a little bit, you know, and then left it. But she was real worried. She was all prancing all around and looking at all the other horses and it was, oh, she just ran around the ring. She must have sweated off 10 pounds, running around and around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they put her in that little fenced off place they got it.
Yeah.
Not that round one, but
yeah.
The bigger one. You know
yeah.
The one the other horse was in right
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Well, they put that one out at the pasture, and that's where she's going to stay in there.
Uh-huh.
By herself, no other
by
horses.
By herself, no other horses.
Because they didn't want to leave her in stall because she wasn't used to a stall. They were going to put her in a stall.
Uh-huh.
They had a stall for her, all set out. But they put her in there just for the breeder, and she didn't like it. Boy, she didn't cut up, but she was prancing all around in there. So they said, well, since she's not used to stalls, they just put her in there all by
uh-huh.
herself.
Uh-huh.
But they're going to breed her Saturday.
Again.
Uh-huh.
They're going to try again.
Uh-huh. And they said that she's definitely in heat.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to breed her again Saturday, and I can come back and pick her up Monday.
Uh-huh.
And, that feeding business, they put her all in the back of the truck. And they put it in pails. They had these little, you know, little pails. And they just line them up on the ground, all 22 of them for the mares. And they go along and they mix it with this thing. One guy comes along with one thing, another guy comes along with another. They just dump a little bit in so much. And then they load her on the truck, and then they got a special one for the studs, and a special one for the little colts, and special ones for this, that, and the other, and all kind of special ones here and there. They must have filled up 50 buckets. They put it all in the back of the truck, and they carry it over to... They've got a different set of stalls for each kind of... You got a stalls, set of stalls for the mares and the filly, the little babies.
Yeah.
And they got a set of stalls for studs. set of stalls for the gelding, set of stalls for the ones they're weaning.
Oh.
And a set of stalls for the mares that don't have their ones anymore. They wean, and they have about 5 sets of stalls. All, you know, those buildings are all around there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what they do is they put the stalls in each. They don't have a, like a lot of them you see, they have one big stall and put all of them, you know, they suction them off.
Yeah.
But they put them all. So what they do is they take the stalls and they build them one here, and it opens up to a pasture, and one over here, and it opens up to a pasture, and one over here, and it opens. So they don't have to fiddle around with moving them from pasture to pasture. They just open up the gates, and when the boys out there yell, and all the horses come trotting up, and each one knows their stall, and they're each going to the stall. But see, that way they don't have to open any gates, nothing to lead them from here, that pasture over here, nothing. They just, each one is setting in a different.
I never saw anything like that.
Neither have I.
Now this is, it's been there a long time. It's a Sunshine
Stud. 9 years.
Sunshine Stud chapter.
Yeah, but apparently the woman that's running it now has just got there. She's the daughter of the old man who started, and the old man is taken sickly, bedridden or something. I can't figure it out. They haven't come out and right out and said it, but I kind of pick it up. That he's something's happened to him, and he can't take over the place, so she's taken over, and she's just got there, but he's had it for 9 years there, and she's just now taken over, and she's sold the tractors and bought new ones, and she's building another hay barn. She built, was, didn't they didn't keep hay before apparently or something. She's building a big barn for the hay.
Yeah.
And they're gonna plant a field for hay.
Uh-huh.
Next year.
Well, now is it your understanding that they race these horses?
Oh yeah, they send them right up to the ones they get. They send them right up around in the circuits.
They lease them. They don't race them.
Well, I don't know how they do it, but they send them off to be raced. I don't know how they work it out, but they do send them off. And this stud that they bred to Molly is a half brother to Majestic Prince.
That's what I told. The winner of the Kentucky Derby.
The Majestic Prince is half brother. And the reason why he's not racing is because he's got those shin splints. He fell down when they raced him in the first race. Philly ran into him and he fell down and he hit the something or other. And his knees were all, the bone in there got pulverized. They took an x-ray and all little tiny pieces in there. Anyway, so they just retired him stuck. And they're standing him free so that he'll get known, because he hadn't been raised, so he didn't have a name. Nobody knows who he is.
Well, now, she would write down his...
She's going to write down the whole deal. She didn't leave till the day.
She didn't.
No. See, the plane that she was talking about, that she was supposed to get on 3, well, we were there at 5.
Yeah.
So she missed it, and she took the 3 o'clock one today.
I see.
So she'll be back Sunday, so I'll see her Monday.
Yeah.
When I go over there.
Yeah, and get all.
And she'll write down all the papers, back things on him. But.
And they just wanted the vet to be there to check Molly.
Yeah, well, he's gonna come anyway.
Yeah.
Check her now.
Mm-hmm.
He said that they finally got a hold of him when I was there, and the vet was gonna come over tonight. He said he would get to him before he went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know what time.
But this is not something that you just take lightly. You just don't turn the mare out and feel with
the
stallion.
Uh-uh.
And this is the sort of thing that I was in horror about when Cookie was going to bring over.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You injure everything.
Oh, Molly is just real calm. She stud was... Boy, he was all over the place. He liked to kill them. He was jumping all around, and the guy was holding him, that guy, Bill.
Yeah.
He was having a time holding him down. Molly just kind of stood there. She...
That's where you ought to breed cows.
What do? You just turn them in the pasture?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
That's not the way to do it.
Because this time, Pappy got in trouble, didn't he? You know, I mean, he could have protected him.
Yeah. Do it, and they do it upright down there. Well, they've been in the business. Obviously, they know what to do.
I wonder what the stud fee is, would say on.
Well, now, he told me that they had a whole bunch of studs down there, other ones.
Yeah.
Well, the one was right beside,
yeah,
in the other pasture. That one was named as Ways and Means, and he wasn't quite had put that good of breeding,
uh-huh,
but he was good. And he told me they got $250 stud fee for,
mm-hmm,
her, I think, for him. Mm-hmm. I think he said, and they're gonna do that with him pretty soon. This one.
Pretty
soon, along the winter. The big time they start breeding them is, you know, January, February.
Yeah.
He said by that time next year they'll start stud fees with him. But see, they're looking for advertising for,
mm-hmm,
the ones that come out of this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To see, you know.
Well, I think Molly's pretty lucky.
Yeah, especially free. Here they're in the business of raising studs.
Yeah.
So then they sell studs off to other farms around here to use the studs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other farms are interested in raising horses that will race.
Mm-hmm.
What is she?
Now, what does that make about the spots?
He said that he went out there and he saw little tiny ones, you know, just little hair.
Missy?
Both. Missy and Pussy. And he said that, well, they've started and they'll come on. They'll get bigger. He said once they've started that they'll keep on. They'll come right on.
There's actually no use to, if you were going to breed those two, there's no use to breed them to anything other than an Appaloosa.
No. Well, that's what he was ready to do, right? He said, that's what he ought to do. He was going to do. Bring him to that vet's Appaloosa stud.
You talk to him about her fine disposition. You want to go farther, she goes backwards.
Yeah. Well, you tell me the reason a guy likes her, she's so much like a donkey.
Yeah. Well, he said if Johnny took a notion to her, that he knew she had something.
Oh, he
said, usually Johnny has an eye for him, and he knows when they're pretty good. And he said, if Johnny fiddled with her, then he's good enough for her. Him.
Hey, what did you see over there that we can sort of adopt here? Like,
I told you about that disc thing with the hose. Oh, he had that dog. One of the pumps went on the blink. They have two, one down at the trailer at his house, and one here at the other house. And one of them went on the one at this house. So they were going to, they couldn't lay down a pipe, and they were out with water, and they couldn't put out another well. Apparently this one caved in or something. And so he was going to lay a pipe all the way from his house, all the way down to this house, so they could use that pump up there. And while I was there, the well man was there too. And he said, boy, that'd be a bad job, laying that pipe all the way. He said you'd have to get a ditch digger, one of those big machine things, you know. And he said, and old Bill said, oh no, said, we got that fixed up right away. He said, what we do is take the harrows, take all the blades off except one, and you just go along in a row, and that harrow digs down in there, and it curls up the sand this way, and you turn around and come back the other way, and curls it up this way, and you have a trench, he said, 1.5, 2 feet deep, just like nothing, just like driving the tractor now.
Right.
And so they just put that hose right in there and cover it up. And just put the blade on the back of the tractor and shovel it right back in. No sweat. He said, do it in a couple hours. No sweat.
That's right.
A rotor mower hooked up to it. That thing,
That
thing makes this thing look like a postage stamp.
Yeah.
Boy, a big
yeah.
thing. It went way back.
Oh, they put wings on them.
Yeah. And, well, boy, he cut these.
Well, now, for big pastures, it pays them to do that.
Yeah, well, they have big pastures.
Yeah.
Big pastures.
they got so much acreage that you cut one pasture and the other one's ready to cut again.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's why they had it. I don't see how that tractor could pull that big thing. It's so big.
Yeah.
But that tractor just pulled the thing like nothing. Just whops it on the... That thing's powerful. That thing's got power steering.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got everything. Power steering. Oh, power steering and power brakes and all kind of little gizmos to make them do this, that, and everything.
The feeding system over there, the bucket, would that...
Well, what they do is they just, that's just an in-between thing. They fill up the bucket, and they take the bucket and they put it in the trough. And they just empty it into the trough. What they do is, they have a big bucket. And they have a little bucket, a little smaller bucket. They fill that up for the little ones. And, of course, it takes less. And that bucket will fit inside this bucket. So they just take the big bucket and put the little one inside it, right down on top of the other feed. And that's one set, and that goes into one stall. And so they take that down, and they have a big feed trough up here. They put it for the mare. And they have a little one low down over here in the other corner for the filling. They just empty them in, and they... So the buckets are only half. That seems to me like that's wasting time because
it
seems to me like you could just... But then no, it didn't because they have so many that you couldn't carry around that many. So, you'd be all day carrying a sack around to each stall. I mean, because there's so... They have 50.
So they mix it in the bucket.
So they have a big feed room. About this big. And they have a bin here and a bin here and here and here and here and here. They just fill up all the buckets all in the middle. Just stand them all up, all around. And then one guy stands at this bin, one here, one there, one there, one there, and they each just shovel them in all around. Well, it takes a few minutes, and they got about five guys.
And then they got all those beautiful pastures out there, guy, and they feed them all this spring.
And they feed them right on through the summer.
Uh-huh.
Same thing. Five quarts to every regular horse. Of course, there's different mixtures for each thing. But and then, what did you say, two or three for the... For the little ones,
uh-huh.
And they got names for each ones they call them. They'll say, we got 22 five and twos, or three and twos, or four and ones, or six and eights, and something like that.
Uh-huh.
And what it is I figured it out. What it is, you take like a three and two is three cans of this and two cans of that. So and then they have two, one, and three, and then they put three of this and two in that,
uh-huh.
And one in that, and they have it all, and they have the buckets painted different colors too, so they can tell which one goes for which studs and the mares and the, so they have this green pellet, and they call it clover mash or something like that. Grass mash, something, and green long pellet. And that goes in for the studs. And then they have the regular sweet feed. And they have that dry stuff. What is that? You have some out there. That stuff that you have out there.
Well, you can find out before.
The only thing I had never seen before were those pellet things.
What shape is the trough?
Well, they put them in the corners.
That's right.
And the ones for the little ones are just a corner with an angle across it, with the bottom, just built right in. They had nothing, no portable thing, just built, just nailed right up. That's for the, and then the big ones for the bigger horses are square to the corner, square shape, pretty deep.
Well, that's the end of Nick's report. It's about 5:25, Channel 1 right. 5:25, Channel 1 right. This Thursday is the 3rd of July, 69, beginning of the long 4th of July weekend. Nick took Molly to the stud farm today, and we held him off until after supper to report. And this is his report on Channel 1 right on 5:30 it is now. Thursday, the 3rd of July, 69.
Their system of stalls is different from his. They've got them with the walks on the outside with the stalls on the inside, whereas he had them on the outside and you walk in the middle.
Uh-huh.
But they have them where you walk on the outside and they have two sets of stalls back to back.
Yeah.
In other words, one back serves as the back of the two, one on one side and one on the other. But the boards, now the boards between the backs are solid, no space between them. But on the sides, between rows, it's got about an inch.
Now this is the end of Nick's report. This is the end of Nick's report on taking Molly to the stud farm. That was Thursday the 3rd of July, 69. Thursday the 3rd of July, 69. And this is Channel 1 Right about 575. Channel 1 Right about 575. This is on Cookie Reel, on the Cookie Tape. Nick reporting on taking Molly to the stud farm. On at supper time, after supper, on Thursday, the 3rd of July, 69. Now this is a fine little cookie tape. On Friday, the 4th of July, 69. On Friday, the 4th of July, 69, this is an unexpected fine little cookie tape. And in it, he reverses all his fine positions heretofore. It's not so lively as some of them, but it's all right, and it's short. And this is Channel 1 Right, about 585 now. Channel 1 Right, about 585 right now.
Oh, something about it that really good, huh? Keeps you eating on it.
What happened? Tell Fee about that.
Cookie?
Let me put this in.
Yeah, get your stuff ready.
Petting that horse. By God.
Just a second here.
Didn't want to eat where it was good eating. Mainly he wanted to eat in Hella's bean patch.
Oh.
See? I just rushed down and got him by the halter, you know, and raised his head up. I said, come on over here. And I just let my hand slide down the leash, you know, and all of a sudden, kalam, here he took me.
Why, Cookie?
And well, I worked him over.
How do you get you by the hand?
I just let my hand slide down the leash. I had it in this hand, and I just dropped loose. And I don't know how he got me in such a shape. But he buried one tooth right in there, right in the bend of that finger, and stuck one in right there.
You had a tetanus shot?
Oh, yeah. I keep them.
Yeah.
I keep him up to date on the kind of skinning up over in the shop, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I'll go about every 6 months and get a tetanus shot.
Well.
So, by golly, blood just poured.
Oh, it did.
I just worked him over, mister. I didn't abuse him, but I let him know that he bit me.
Yeah. You know one of them palm fronds that I use on the cattle?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I worked him with. You know that thing you, paddle you gave Frank?
Yeah.
It won't hurt one.
But it'll sure make them think that.
It'll make them think you're beating them to death.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
And, I did work him over. And I ain't gonna put up with that now. I just ain't
gonna. A biting horse is a.
I ain't gonna put up with that.
Oh.
I just not gonna put up with it. You let me have let me have one cool day behind me. Just one cool day behind me. And me and Tony's gonna go around.
You're gonna pick a cool day.
I'm gonna pick a cool day and I'm gonna lay him down and work on him. Right there. I'm going to fill him full of penicillin and tetanus. That's what's going to happen. I ain't going to mess with him.
And make a steer out of it.
I'm going to make a steer out of him just as sure as God made little green apples. Now, I mean it.
Think he'd be better that way than he is this way?
He can't be no worse.
My cookie?
He needs some attention, doesn't he?
Well, he got it yesterday. I'm gonna have him, like I say, come here, Tony. Boy, he'd walk right up to me and nudge me with his nose. I'm in business. Oh, I worked him over right.
I wouldn't think your daddy would spoil a horse.
No, he's all right. Well, see, Mama been sick. Daddy did. He just got to place after Tony got up where he was really feeling good and where he really needed the attention.
Yeah.
Daddy gave Mama the attention.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him. I'd have done the same thing. He went down there and Tony nipped at him while he just slapped him and went on and let him get by with it, you know. If he wanted to rear up, I did let him rear, and he could get by with it. He just fed him, watered him, and that's it. So,
they got to have some attention.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Handle him,
mainly.
Yeah.
You got to handle him.
How old is Tony?
He'll be three in
November. Just that. Me and Aiden,
huh? November.
Hadn't been ridden very much.
No, but he's sure getting it now. Had Frank working him out every night.
Oh.
Just like that. He took a cut on him early this morning.
Oh.
Well, see, Frank worked 3 days this past week, and he got paid. They were going to give him a check, and he couldn't be satisfied.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you what he did now. Downtown, he got his check cashed. His check was $28. 3 days work. He got $1 an hour. He come back and he had some bills rolled up in his hand. He walked in and he said, "Here, you need this." And I said, "Okay, I thank you." Well, you know what he gave me out of that $28? He gave me $25.
Oh, Cookie.
He did.
How you get a son like that?
But that ain't the first time.
That's pretty nice, couldn't you?
See, he saw the light bill. He is. Light bill $25.57.
Light bill?
My light bill $25.57. That ain't half of it, though, Faye. You want my telephone bill is? While Mama was sick, went for 1 month.
Well, I can imagine that because you always talked every night.
$83.
Good Lord.
Why, Cookie?
$83.
I don't believe I could stand that. That is really.
I can't get any more. That's it.
If mine gets to 20, I get pretty jittery.
$83. Almost 84. 83.63.
But your electric bill, is that because of all the things you do in your shop and things like
well,
that?
Well, see, this past month, I didn't do too much. Usually it's around $20.
Mm-hmm.
The more I use, the cheaper it gets. If I use my welder a lot, that brings it down.
It doesn't make any sense.
It sure does. The more kilowatts you use, the cheaper rate you get. I can weld solid every month, and it won't run over $21. Every night, I can weld every night, and it won't run over $21.
Why, Cookie? that just can't be so.
That's right.
It just can't be.
Even if I turn all the lights on and just leave them on? Well, it takes more than light, though, doesn't it?
You got to get something more than light.
Yeah.
Well, that electric welder sure pulls in.
Yeah.
Make sure pulls it. But I don't remember turning my welder on, but one time that was to weld a plug in the end of the watering trough there for the horses. Just weld around a 3/4-inch plug is all the welding that I know of I've done. That's $25.
Tell me what happened to the man with the mower.
The mower.
His old mower wouldn't work, and the new one won't either.
He won't adjust it right.
That's right.
He won't adjust it right.
Now you worked on this mower for him.
Yeah.
The old one.
Yeah, I had it cutting. Perfect. And it wasn't riding the way he thought it ought to ride.
So he readjusted.
He readjusted and he got it all out of whack. Well, Santa Fe Tractor, he bought one from Santa Fe Tractor in Gainesville. He brought it out there, set it up, put it on his tractor, new tractor, got to going. And it didn't, he thought it ought to ride different, and he readjusted. And he ain't getting a bit better cut than he did with his old one. And when Santa Fe Tractor set it up, he was getting a cut like I said his tractor, his machine, his old machine.
Oh?
That's right. So I'm gonna buy it.
You think he'll sell it?
Yeah, he'll sell it. He ain't got no use for two.
Cookie, you can't buy it. You got.
He holds you up?
I'll probably get $50.
It'd be nice to have one at that price. That'll work more.
Got anything floppy?
Now.
I might. I ain't gonna be hurting, I'll tell you.
What does he do to it, Cookie?
Well, in the first place, he angled it back too far. And he wants his draw bars to run level. You can't do that on a Ford mower. That's why you've got an adjustment there to raise them or lower them.
Oh.
Well, I dropped it down at the heel.
Down.
And it was cutting level. Well, the way he wants it, it cuts high at the heel and low at the point.
Oh.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if he would just drop it down there, his troubles would have been over. And then it pulled it back around front to where it would have been square with the land, with the way your tractor was running, square with your tractor. You'd been all right.
Is that what you call that little thing where it slips along the heel?
That's right.
That's a good word for it. Now that's supposed to slide along.
That's right. That's supposed. That heel is supposed to run on the ground.
It rests right on the ground.
That's right. Supposed to rest on the ground. And you've got another wear plate out the end on your point. That's supposed to rest on the ground. That way you get a level cut.
Well, I didn't know you had one out there.
Yes, sir.
It was supposed to rest on the ground too.
Yes, sir.
Is that the same on all of them?
That's right. They got to rest on the ground. If they don't rest on the ground, you ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
The old thing goes, you're hitting high spots.
Well, now, we got this one out here to riding level.
Right.
It was turning up. I couldn't get it down.
Yeah.
That last thing you did to it helped it. As far as I can see, it rides all right.
Yeah.
But it still cuts high. It seems to me.
Well, there's some more things we could try on. I don't know whether they're doing good or not.
But it don't you see, isn't that your?
That's right. It's cutting high.
It's still cutting high.
It ain't getting down, getting the main part of the grass.
Yes, that's right.
You're leaving your best part right there.
Yes.
The tender part right there on the grain.
Even if you didn't save the yes, and even if you didn't save the hay, you still want that off.
That's right.
That's right. I was over there at Coleman's yesterday. I gave him this first hay I made out here. It's so tough. Cut it on that truck. That ton truck sounds like it's the best utility thing and most economical, but it's still right costly.
Yeah. Well, I tell you. You take that pickup I got over there, it's good for one thing, actually. Just riding around and hauling a few bags of feed, just a few bags of feed down there. As far as going out and doing a man's job, it's just like sending the boy out to do a man's job.
Yeah.
Because it ain't geared right, don't have enough power, one thing. See, it's just got a little old three-speed transmission in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in a car. That's all it is.
Not heavy duty?
No. Just a standard rig. With that big four-speed transmission in it. Heavy duty rear end and dual wheels. It looks like, it looks like a pile of junk now, but you give me a few days.
Mm-hmm. And the expense of it would be considerably different, wouldn't it? That and your trailer out there.
Yeah.
You can rig your trailer up to Halston.
That's right. Use the truck on the farm.
How much you think you'd have to do to the trailer?
My trailer?
Uh-huh. Yours out there.
I've got everything to fix it with. All except some bolts. I've got to buy some bolts.
Do you keep a supply of wood and iron?
I keep a supply of iron, but I don't keep a supply of wood.
Yeah.
I got the plywood. It's already soaked with oil.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got 1x4 for the slats up above the plywood. I've got 1x4 for that, mm-hmm. Light.
Mm-hmm. This is the end of Channel 1 Right. This is the end of Channel 1 Right, and I'll continue Cookie's visit on Friday the 4th of July, 1969, on Channel 1 Over. This is Channel 1 Right. This is the end of Channel 1 Right. And I'll continue Cookie's visit on the Friday, the 4th of July, 1961, on and over.
2x6 seater. 2x6 seater. Costing $25.